in the night. Your heart fills with dread, probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed. You'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinister Who? Well, hello and welcome to another edition of Freaky Friday, where we tell your odd but true stories. It's Friday, March 22nd. It's officially spring now, and we feel it in the air in our bodies.
I think it's been spring for like 2 months it over has sprung here.
Again and again.
Spring sprang quite a while ago, and I've had a migraine ever since. So
it's what lovely right flowers, up your nose,
aren't they?
Right up your whole nose hole. It's terrible.
It was really awesome that we bought a house with a gorgeous, beautiful, huge oak tree right in front when I forgot that I'm allergic to that. So
you just mainlining it.
Every day is a living hell. It's just what I've been saying constantly.
That's what my mom's friend Lily used to go, the fresh air will kill you. And she was not wrong. Like staying inside where it's filtered. And even that, it still makes its way in.
Oh, yeah. Yes, yes. It's everywhere.
Inside of all of us. Well, speaking of everywhere, our last story is there's a cryptid that I think is everywhere, but we'll get to that in the interim. We have
Everywhere Panther.
Everywhere Panther.
That's what they should call it. It's all over the place.
Oh, but up until then, we've got quite a lineup of stories that run the gamut. Some real brushes with true crime today.
Several. And kind of a follow-up with this first one, a continuation, if you will, of a small town that continues to fascinate me. When you can count on one hand the number of murders that your town has seen, that is really something. Because I don't know about other people, but Dallas, we're in the like quadruple digits, you know.
Yeah, we lose count. I mean, there's somebody that's counting them. That is their job, and they're counting them. But in a city like this, it sounds like a Hallmark movie city. You know, like where there's so many, there's only so many people. Everybody kind of knows each other, and so something like a homicide's gonna wreck things for real because everybody knows it. It just touches everybody in the town.
Well, I'm Christy.
I'm Heather.
And let's get freaky. This first one, like we've been talking about, is from Denise. And content warning for this story, it does mention suicide. And it is called the third and fourth, and hopefully last, homicide in my hometown. Hi ladies, I wrote in about the second ever homicide in my hometown of Warren, Rhode Island. And since you read it on the pod, I thought you may be interested in the other two homicides we have had in the past couple of years. I described Warren as a small town in my last submission, and Christy mentioned that it sounded like a place where everyone knows everyone. This is so true. Warren also has a regionalized junior and senior high school with the neighboring town of Bristol, so you probably know everyone there, too. Whenever I meet someone from either town, there are never 6 degrees of separation, 1 or 2 at the most. This factors into the story later on. On September 2nd, 2021, there was an active shooter situation in Warren. This doesn't happen. Ever. The murder rate in Warren and Bristol is very low. I think it is listed as less than 0. Facebook was going crazy. Everyone was posting updates. People who live near the active area were giving live updates while watching out their windows. 37-year-old Michael Ouellette walked into the Italian-American club in Warren and shot 2 people. He instantly killed Assistant Fire Chief Brian Remy, age 66, and wounded Jason Furtado, age 41. There were a lot of stories about what exactly happened and why. The basic story seems to be that Michael Ouellette was the president of the Italian American Club and was allegedly stealing money. He heard that other members knew and were planning on confronting him. When he arrived at the club, he walked over to Mr. Remy and shot him in the back of the head. He shot Mr. Furtado in the hip area. Michael Ouellette began walking back to his home, which is about a 5-minute walk from the club. Warren police called Bristol police for backup. The Bristol police chief and another member of the Bristol PD, Major McNally, were driving down the same street Michael was walking on. Michael opened fire on the police. Major McNally returned fire. Michael was seen walking through a gate towards a house and disappeared from view. When they found him, he was laying in a pool of his own blood, and it was evident he died from a fatal shot to the head. Michael took his own life. I'm sure they would have realized Michael took his own life during the autopsy. However, they didn't need to wait that long. A resident across the street was recording the scene, and the video shows Michael shooting himself. He had a high blood alcohol content and multiple drugs in his system at the time of the shooting. I have heard that he had been having a hard time in the year prior to the shooting, and before that, showed no signs of violent behavior. That being from a small town factor I mentioned, Mr. Remy was a business owner. My mother and I lived next door to the business for years and knew him, albeit not well, but enough to say hello and talk sometimes. Mr. Remy's sister was my preschool teacher. I absolutely adored her, and she still gives me a hug when I see her today, and I'm almost 48. The fourth, and hopefully final, homicide in Warren was just last year. A nursing home resident, age 76, has been arrested and charged with killing his roommate, aged 81. The suspect said that the deceased had been trying to kill him for years. I don't know if some sort of dementia or mental health crisis contributed to this homicide or not. I will attach the Rhode Island Attorney General's report below and email some links to articles. Well, thank you, Denise, for the links to the articles and the Attorney General's report. It's so wild that just in the past decade, you all have had four murders, and before that, it had been zero. And I also hope this is the last one. And I'm not trying to be negative, but I just can't imagine that it is. You know, I mean, like,
I mean, truly, yeah.
The bigger towns get and everything, and the more things go on, I just think that that's kind of the way things go. But I hope that it's the opposite and you never have another one.
Yeah, it goes back to the pre-levels before all of this, because, I mean, something like, as it sounds silly, right? It's like a you stole some money from a Rotary, you know, from an Italian-American club. That's no reason to go and attack two people, the people that are in there, especially it sounds like Mr. Remy was a business owner and a fire chief. And in a town like that, you know, you're going to be, I was his next door neighbor. I was in his sister's class. That's just, there's no need to take a life like that when it's something like money is involved. But I hope for everybody in Warren's sake, it goes back to being a quieter small town. But a place like that where you see your kinder or your preschool teacher at age 48 and she still recognizes you and hugs you, like that's kind of the, like I said, the type of town you hear about in like a Hallmark movie. So hopefully it goes back to more idyllic.
Yes. And I hope that the gentleman that was filming that gets the help he needs too, because there, like we talk about that ripple effect when things like this happen. That's a huge traumatic thing that you've witnessed. And, you know, even if you're kind of tangentially or on the outside of something related to something like this, a true brush with it, don't think that that can't affect you and that you need to get some help to work through that too.
Yeah, especially if you just think, oh, I'm going to film a police chase and then you accidentally capture something very violent like that. Yeah, that's tangential victims for sure.
Well, thank you so much, Denise, for sending that in. And hopefully that's the last time we hear about you as far as that goes. But any other things from your fun small town we would love to hear about.
Sinisterhood will be right back. Oh, we live in a town where the allergens flow freely in the skies.
I am knocking on death's door. But I'll tell you what, Astepro has come in clutch with helping me with my allergies. We moved houses last year and we got a big old oak tree out front. And then we also just have a lot more flowering plants around and the pollen count is out of control right now. If you're like me, you have terrible allergies. You can't breathe. You're sneezing. Your throat hurts. All this stuff. Astepro has got you.
Yeah, I am so happy that we've hooked up with Astepro. This has been, could not have come at a better time.
Well, shout out to Astepro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples. I have been using it daily.
Yeah, it's been a game changer for real, and we cannot recommend it enough.
Astepro is a first-of-its-kind nasal allergy spray. It is the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays can take up to hours.
Astepro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astepro delivers full prescription-strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing.
I use it every day, and I'll tell you what, I'm not just blowing smoke up everybody's ass when I say it really does work better than any other one I've tried, and I've tried many, and this one works faster, and I feel like the effects last way longer, too.
Yeah, the faster is what does me, and I'm an impatient person, and I always wait to the last minute to do something about what's making me not feel great. And so when I've got this congested, itchy, runny nose kind of thing, go with it, feel great.
Spray it on up there.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astepro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can use Astepro and go today. Astepro allergy.com.
Astepro and go. Uses directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies. Well, this next one is from Mackenzie, and it is called My Ex is a Murderer. Hi, ladies. I love your podcast, and it is currently getting me through the long nights with my baby, who does not sleep, even though she is almost a year old already. Anyway, after listening to some of the Freaky Friday episodes, I thought you might be interested in my story with being involved with a murderer. To protect everyone in the story, the names have been changed. So back in high school, I became really good friends with a guy named C. I didn't have a lot of friends after a bad breakup, having my ex turn everyone against me, and I was dealing with some major depression. And there was C, willing to take me under his wing. I began hanging out with him and his friends all the time, and he was so sweet, always wanting the best for me. It was the little things, like not speeding because I was in the car, or not having alcohol around because it made me uncomfortable. And, of course, always listening as I would complain about the new drama my ex-boyfriend was causing in my life. Well, naturally, when you feel the whole world is against you and you have someone treating you the way C was treating me, you start to think you have feelings for the guy. I knew there was red flags because he would constantly talk about all the girls he has had sex with, and it always seemed like the relationships were overlapping each other. We did stay just friends through high school, though. However, the summer after graduating high school, C and I were spending so much time together before I went off to college in the fall. He started telling me he thought I was beautiful and the most amazing girl. I fell for it hard. We started hooking up, but never made things official. He always had an excuse as to why we couldn't be an official couple yet. I went off to college that fall and came home every weekend to see him. It was around then he asked me to have a baby with him. I told him, no way, as I was a freshman in college and wanted to get through school first. After that, things changed. He would go weeks without responding to my text. And then when he would respond, it was always some terrible thing that had happened to him, such as getting hit by a car or he was in the hospital because he has cancer. After comparing notes with people later, I'm pretty sure none of his excuses were true. And who lies about having cancer? He would even start telling me that he had people watching me where I was going to school and that I better not lie to him about what I was doing. I went home one weekend to visit my parents and went to the grocery store and saw him there with another girl. He told me, oh, you don't have to worry about her. That's just Amy. It was not long after that he told me that he can't talk to me anymore because I'm too good for him and he doesn't deserve me and that I need to be with someone who doesn't have cancer. I was heartbroken and still believed his cancer story at the time and tried to tell him that I didn't care and I would stay by his side through it all, but nothing I said mattered. A few months later, I found out Just Amy was pregnant with his child and I was livid. I messaged him and he told me that he only had a few months left to live because of his cancer and he really wanted to be a dad and she was willing to give him a baby. But he said they were not in a relationship. At this point, I knew everything was a lie and just stopped talking to him. He ended up with her for a while and had two kids with her. So much for the story he told me. Anyway, let's fast forward to the crime portion of the story. It had been a few years at this point, and C was no longer with Amy. He had a different girlfriend, and I think Amy even had a boyfriend, but I'm not positive. Well, I was at work one morning when we got news that someone had been shot at their work parking lot a few towns over. We were told to keep on alert because the shooter hadn't been caught or identified. It didn't take long before I heard that the shooter was C, and the victim was Amy. I was shaking. I'd had a relationship with him. It turns out that after Amy was shot, she was able to call 911 and identify her shooter to the police, but she later died in the hospital. Also, rumor has it that C shot her over a custody battle over their two children because he didn't want to lose them. Still, to this day, when I think about what he did, I can't help but feel a bit of relief and anxiety at the same time. Because what if I had agreed to have a baby with him when I was back in college? Could that have been me that was shot and killed? I firmly believe even if I did agree to have a baby with him, we never would have been one big happy family, so there likely would have been a custody battle with us at some point, too. I believe not only did I have a relationship with the murderer, but I made the right decision to not have a baby with him. It could have been me that was shot that day. Anyway, thank you for letting me share my story and also for keeping me awake during the long nights with my baby. Well, man, yeah, very good on you, Mackenzie, for getting out of that relationship. But man, my heart breaks for Amy and the kid that they had together.
Yeah, and the fact they had another kid too together. It's like, yeah, you got, if he tricked her into having the baby by saying, oh, I have cancer. And like Mackenzie said, who lies about having cancer? I feel like that's like one of the lowest, like stolen valor stuff. It's like when people lie about like being in the military or the lady that lied about being in 9/11. It's like, you don't get to put on somebody's grief and pain as a costume and then use it to manipulate women into bearing your fruit. I hate, why did I use that Quiverfully in Handmaid's Tale-esque line?
Yeah, for that. After, you know, they like, plant their seed in the woman and then they bear the fruit for the man. That's how it goes.
But seriously, yeah. It's like, what a shithead. Like, that's a terrible person already.
The other day on TikTok, I saw this TikTok of, it was this couple that was live and he was talking about, oh, you know, I have cancer. And he gave this very elaborate story that involved like him having like 24 hours to live. And the doctor said he could go at any time. So he was just at home and people were like giving them money on this live. Mm. Immediately, I was like, this is fake. This has got to be a scam. And then like 2 days later, it was everywhere that it was a total scam. The guy's roommate came forward and was like, none of this ever happened. And now the kind of question is like, well, if you donated money to them, are you legally allowed to get it back? But also like you gave a stranger money just based on a story. So is the onus on you? But just don't believe everything you hear.
Yeah, donor beware. That would be fraud. You can't take money from people on a lie. So if he really doesn't have cancer, then
well, he wasn't saying give me cancer, or he wasn't saying give me money because XYZ, but people were feeling sorry for him and donating money because he was like, I'm going to have all these bills and my wife's going to be left here alone. You know, I mean, so he asked without outright asking.
Wow.
But people are very generous on TikTok with just giving those roses and all those other things on those lives.
They weren't even like cash apping him. They were just like tapping like and sending galaxies.
They did have a cash app too. Yeah.
Man, that's wild. But that's a good question though. If somebody takes a bunch of TikTok gifts under false pretenses, like what's your recourse? Mm-hmm. I guess just beware who you're giving the TikTok gifts to and only do it for, you know, I like to, if you see a band playing or like somebody's like, has a talent or a skill on there, I'm happy to do that. But you just never know, man, if there's running a scam, which sucks for the people that really need the help.
Well, Mackenzie, glad that you stayed safe. So sorry about Amy. And I hope that her kids, wherever they are doing well. And that this guy's in jail for forever.
Yeah, I hope he got locked up, and good luck, Mackenzie, with having your baby sleep through the night, too. I'm glad we can keep you company. I'm sure that's tough.
I know that all too well. And yes, in those late night feedings or just bouncing him on that yoga ball, trying to get him back to sleep. You've got this. We're in your ears. You've got this. Well, this next one is from Dee Dee, and it is called Don't Let the Weird Old Lady Distract You at the Gas Station. Hello, ladies. I've been a listener since 2020's Gwen Shamblings episodes, and I've been hooked ever since. You do such a great job researching the stories, and I completely trust your insight into the law and law enforcement. Combined with your wicked humor, your work is so much richer than most other true crime podcasts. Great job. You're my absolute faves, and it's wonderful that you've created a safe space for your listeners, particularly women, to share their disturbing, funny, tragic, and confusing life encounters. I grew up in a time when topics such as abuse and discrimination weren't discussed as openly. Yes, I'm old, but I'm glad to see our society change somewhat to accept and respect others. My hope is that it continues because we're far from done. I'll get off my soapbox now and jump on another one. A recent Freaky Friday story about two young women who were almost abducted at a gas station brought a similar, but less dramatic, event back for me. I want to offer this as a cautionary tale, and even though it's small, I hope it can help someone. 6 years ago, we lived 20 miles outside of Dallas. I worked in the city and noticed on my way to work one morning that my gas warning light had come on. Although my commute was not that far in miles, sometimes it would take over an hour to get home because of traffic. I was probably running late to work, so I had to stop on my way home to fill up. It was summer and still light out, probably after 6 p.m. when I stopped at the first large gas station plaza. Being Texas, where everything is bigger, the gas station plazas host at least a dozen gas pumps under a large canopy. The one that I stopped at that day was strangely empty, especially for rush hour. I pulled up to the first pump on the inside. There were no cars on the outer side or the next side on the inside. Usually there would be cars at each of the pumps with lines of others waiting to enter. My car's tank is on the right passenger side, so the driver's side is away from the pump. As I got to the boring task of putting in my credit card, punching the keys, and getting the hose ready, a small old woman popped out from behind the pump and startled me. She was whispering something and had a very heavy accent. I couldn't hear what she was saying, and she started to walk toward me, motioning me to come closer to her. She continued to speak, but I had no idea what she was saying. I started telling her that I didn't understand, but she kept talking very quietly and approaching me. For some reason, I turned toward the driver's side window and saw a young guy partially crouched by the door. I could see his face through the window, and we locked eyes. There was no other car nearby. When he realized that I saw him, he straightened up and walked quickly away. I turned and yelled at the old woman, "I don't know what you want. Leave me alone." She disappeared behind the pump and continued to walk away from the station. I'm positive that he was trying to open my door and grab my purse, which was on the passenger seat. I don't know if they were working together or if he just saw an opportunity because I wasn't paying attention, but the whole event was very weird. Fortunately, I always lock my car when I'm filling up, and it was locked that day. I'll be in mom mode now and tell everyone to pay attention to where you are and don't leave your car unlocked. If someone's out to cause you harm, they'll distract you or throw you off guard. It only takes a few seconds for them to open an unlocked door and grab something inside. Or even worse, get inside your vehicle. And if confronted by an unusual encounter, listen to your gut. Being polite has its time and place, but don't let politeness make you a victim. Thank you in advance if this gets read on air, but if it doesn't, just chalk it up to another weird Texas encounter. By the way, we now live in North Carolina, and last year you read my story about the two guys who stole a truck and ended up in our driveway with a puppy and a bottle of pee. So weird encounters happen everywhere. Or maybe it's just me. Love y'all, Dee Dee.
I absolutely remember that story.
I very much remember that story.
Immediately.
And,
when you said that.
I will remember this too, because these little things really stick with me. These little anecdotes of, I also lock my car when I get out. I lock my car if I load groceries and then I got to take the cart back. I lock my car to do that. Anytime that I'm like, oh, I'll just be gone for a second, I think, that's when they get you.
So wait for that second.
Like, so if, because she's right, Dee Dee's right.
Truly.
Like, it takes people like leave their person, they've loaded everything, mm-hmm. and then they run over to put the cart back or just hop out to get their gas. And it takes 2 seconds for somebody to take advantage of that because mm-hmm. you've kind of got your guard down. So it sucks that we live in a world where you got to always have your guard up. But just think of it as like you would lock your house if you were leaving it. Lock your car every time you're leaving it too.
Right. Yeah, no, definitely. When you watch any of those surveillance footage, like the clips of people that jump in a car and either yeah. hide or jump in a car and take the bag, it really does. It's like a snake. It happens in like 2 seconds, like because mm-hmm. it's not somebody is the first time they did it. But oftentimes you're not the first time they ever did it. But my car is laid out like this as well, where the gas pump is completely opposite of the driver's Same. Side. And I'm like, well, thanks a lot, car. Now I have to walk all the way around. But I do often make sure I'm paying attention to my surroundings at the gas pump, but also like looking through my window just to ensure that somebody isn't like waiting over there or trying to jump in. But yeah, I keep that bitch on lock. And yeah, don't come popping out from behind a gas station or a gas pump to be like, hello. It's like, God, that's not how we approach people.
No, it sounds like they may have been working together and mm-hmm. she was trying to distract or you know, lure you away from your car so that could happen, which is also mm-hmm. so creepy. And especially because nobody was there. It's mm-hmm. almost like they were just lying in wait for anybody to pull into this gas station. And it's not anybody's fault. It's yeah. just who happens to drive in. So
you needed gas that day. Yeah.
Good on you. And I feel to my core the shit, I gotta get gas. I can't yes. get it right now where I'm going because I'm gonna be late. So then you're like palm sweaty, just white knuckle driving the whole way there. You're like, please let me just make it to my destination.
Like, come on, baby.
And then when you leave your destination, you get in the car, you're like, son of a bitch, I forgot I need to get gas. And then it's the same thing until you roll in on fumes to a gas station. And then I'm not trying to get some Mm-mm. little troll woman popping out trying to lure me away from my car when I'm already in a tizzy, probably.
Yeah, right. I don't need to be part of this two-man robbery act or whatever's going on here. So, yeah, good for you, Dee Dee, for keeping that door locked. And I like that phrase of, like, being polite has its time and place, but don't let politeness make you a victim. That's a very mm-hmm. Wise and salient advice, Dee Dee. So thank you.
Absolutely.
Sinisterhood will be right back.
We're about to go back on tour, and that means a lot of packing for a lot of things. And I'm very excited to take my bass bag out on the town and give it a spin because I can fit so much stuff in there. And it also can go on the plane with me that now I feel like I've doubled my packing abilities and also still stuck with not having to check a bag. And I'm very proud of this.
Hell yeah. It's a game changer for real. And we've all been there. You try to fit everything you might need for a trip in one bag, only end up with your suitcase is bursting at the seams. But with Base, there's room for everything. 15 pairs of underwear for a weekend trip? No problem. Wanting to decide between a few pairs of shoes? No worries. Bring them all with Base.
And you can put them in the zipped up bottom area of the bag so they don't get all over your clean clothes, which is one of my favorite features.
They thought of
everything. Base has thought of everything you could ever want in a piece of luggage. There's 360-degree gliding wheels, cushioned handle, built-in weight indicator, washable bags for your dirty clothes, compression flaps and straps with pockets galore, and a lined interior that is durable and easy to spot clean. Plus, TSA approved combination lock so nobody can be rifling through your stuff.
Mm-mm. Every piece is made to look better with miles so you don't have to worry about it in cargo or overhead. And Base has over 30,000 five-star reviews. Whether you're packing for a quick trip or looking to breeze through security lines, Base has your personal items covered.
Right now, Base is offering our listeners 15% off your first purchase by visiting basetravel.com/creepy. Go to basetravel.com/creepy for 15% off your first purchase.
That's BEIS travel.com/creepy. Well, this next one is from Kay, and the subject line is a story about a slightly unstable pilot. Hi, ladies. Love your podcast. From the opening minute of last week's episode, I knew I had to tell you about this. I used to work front desk in a hotel that accommodated pilots and flight attendants on overnight routes. The pilots overall were mostly just business. Many could be a bit rude and condescending, but they were also lovely pilots. particularly one whose wife would drive up to stay overnight and sent the whole desk chocolate for Christmas. Bright and early one morning, 6:30 a.m., a pilot came to the desk and started complaining with a raised, angry voice that the room next to his was too loud and they kept him up. I just reviewed the night shift notes, and they didn't say anything about a noise disturbance, so the pilot hadn't asked us to ask his neighbors to keep it down. I apologized, because customer service, and asked that in the future he let us know at night and we would send security. He was not pleased with my answer, but I didn't have a time machine. As he was walking out, he turned and said, loudly, to the whole lobby, "I should crash the plane today, and it would be your fault." There wasn't really anybody in the lobby to hear other than me, but I'd hate to be checking out and hear a pilot shout that. Maybe 20 minutes later, he walked back in the front door and up to my desk. He said, "Hey, I'm sorry I yelled at you. I saw a few homeless people outside, and I realized that there are worse things in life." Then he left without me saying anything. That confused me further, as he didn't actually seem to think yelling at a desk clerk was inherently bad, or that it was dangerously unprofessional, and it sounded like he wouldn't have felt bad if he hadn't seen a guy sleeping on the street. I could have called our scheduling contact at the airline, and in retrospect, maybe I should have, but my threshold for drama was much higher than the average person at that point, and I wasn't sure if they'd take me seriously. I have a ridiculous amount of hotel stories, but missed writing in on the listener stories episode where he asked for them. Maybe sometime I'll finish that email. Thanks for reading, Kay. Well, please send hotel stories because I love those, but oh my God.
Yeah, do please send those. This is so unhinged. So Kay emailed this to us and I immediately wrote back and said, can we please use this on Freaky Friday? Because this is so unhinged. Like, everyone sees him. He's not in costume. He's not, maybe I'll just crash the plane today and it'd be your fault. First of all, no, it wouldn't. It would not be Kay's fault. It would be your fault. And to, like, even make that kind of threat, that's wild.
It's such a zero to, like, not even zero to 100. It's zero to 1,000 on a scale of 100.
Because he stays at, like, a 900 probably at all times. So he's just always a tick away from crashing that plane. Or at least threatening to do it.
I'll fucking take us down.
I'll do it right now. Don't you shut up back there in first class or I'll turn this plane right around.
Captain, we actually don't have any decaf. We only have, I'm going to crash this plane and it's going to be your fault. It's like, God.
That's crazy.
Because Kay's like, I just clocked in. I was not working last night. You didn't even call us to tell us to have these people shut up last night. How is any of this my fault? I literally just clocked in today.
And then he's like, hey, by the way, I just went outside and saw some people that, you know, have it way worse than me because they're poor. And so I'm sorry for that. It's like, that is not an apology, sir. You're so out of touch with all, everything about this is wrong.
Yeah. Just because you see a person experiencing homelessness, your idea should be, oh, perhaps I could help them. Not, at least it ain't me. I better go apologize to that girl at the desk. It was like,
apologize.
Sir, yeah. Not even
apologize in quotes. Like that's, hey, nah. Just because you say, I'm sorry, that doesn't make an apology. I'm sorry does not an apology make.
No.
One must be sincere in their apology and not just be like, saw a few homeless people outside and realized there are worse things in life. Well,
what?
That is true. But, you know, experiencing homelessness versus having your pilot intentionally crash your plane because he didn't get a good night's sleep, which is worse.
Yeah, that he's like, listen, the front desk person was uncaring when I complained and didn't even offer me any points, so we're going down. It's like, what are you even talking about? Mm-mm. There's no correlation between any of it. Yeah, that's unstable is the right term for it. That is wild. And I love when we do any type of a series that has to do, an episode or a series that has to do with like a specialization, like aviation, because we do get stories like this or we mm-hmm. get people who work in the field. On Patreon, one of our listeners said that they work in aeronautical engineering and that truly you should be able to track every tiny little piece of the plane. So then it's
really?
And then they said, which I didn't know, which you learn something new every day, but they said that is kind of weird and sus then that it has been said, oh, but we're not 100% sure it's from MH370. But
so my question wasn't as stupid as I thought it was at the time. But because I literally lost sleep last night thinking about what a stupid thing I said. Like, obviously, you can't just tell where a piece of a wing is from. But I guess apparently you can't.
They said down to a rubber gasket. I was like, I didn't know that. I thought like the big chunks.
Yeah. I was thinking planes are like so specialized that everything would have like its own thing. But yeah, so interesting. That does make that a little more sus then that they can't confirm nor deny.
Right. That's what, because I was like, oh, surely it's, you know, maybe the gaskets or the back of the seats. You can't exactly tell. But they said, no, that you should be able to track, you know, every piece. So I'm like, And they also said that the plate that came off the flaperon, those should not come off given how stuck on they are. So another
question
of how that plate might have come off.
Interesting, interesting.
Thank you, Kay. And so speaking of specialized stories, please, any hotel stories, anybody listening, if you have a weird job story, or especially Paris used to work front desk at the hotel when he was in college, and he has a number of bizarre incidents. And so
he should send some in.
I'll type them out.
Weird shit, especially like somebody checking in super late. Like, I'm sure you see, or people meeting other people for a late night rendezvous.
Ooh, at the, gosh, where was, I think he was at like the Courtyard Days Marriott, Inn, wasn't Frisco. It?
I thought he worked in Denton.
He did work in the Denton Days Inn, and then he worked at one in Frisco as well. Mm-hmm. So he worked at one, I think, by like the Star, where it now is, the Cowboys facility. So all those, like, I always wonder, like driving down the highway through the suburbs, I'm like, who is staying at these like hotels that are in the suburbs? But it's like business travelers,
pilots people,
yelling, I'll crash the plane today. Who knows?
That sounds like a very arrogant and entitled man to just think that for that statement, even by himself in a locked room, is okay to say. Like, don't even utter those words out loud. But threatening someone in a place of business where other people are around, wild, wild stuff. The people that think that that's okay to do are just are beyond me.
It's next level, and they're not the ones we want to have in control of an aircraft, for sure.
No, I would like to know his name and who he flies for so I can request to not ever be on that flight.
They're like, ma'am, you put some reservation requests in, and this is just a person's first and last name. It's like, yeah, don't put me on his plane.
Find it. And they're like, we know others have his name down too. I'm like, I bet they do. Why don't y'all fire him?
It's not just you. Well, thank you, Kay. Good looking out. Sinisterhood, we'll be right back. This next one is from No Thank You, and the subject line is legal advice for vigilante shit. Hi, ladies. This is No Thank You again. I submitted the story about the dead chicken cult in the Chicago area. I'm going to keep myself with no name for now because this story could impact my career. I am a woman engineer in her 20s. As you can imagine, I've had lots of experience with men patronizing me and thinking that they're better than me just because I'm young, a woman, and a Latina. While I'm used to dealing with this from college and other workplaces, I recently had a nightmare experience with my now previous company. I started working at the smaller civil engineering company about a year ago. Even though it was a pay cut, I wanted to move back to Texas, and I was switching industries, so I took what I could get. 2 weeks into being there, they made an announcement that one of our team leads was being moved to our Houston office, and we shouldn't have contact with him unless it was necessary. Asking around, I found out it was because this guy would yell at all the younger engineers and call them names. Everyone knew he acted like this, but he was friends with the boss, and he was leading some big projects. The advice from my boss was not to take it personally. HR finally did something about this because he yelled at a higher-up who was a woman in a meeting with others. In my opinion, he should have been fired. There is no reason to yell and call people names in a professional environment. Men and their emotions, am I right? Anyway, this, coupled with the obvious lack of diversity at the company, led me to write a Glassdoor review. I was really just venting, but I also like leaving Glassdoor reviews, specifically to let women engineers know what they're getting into. In my review, I called the company a, quote, boys club. Unbeknownst to me, this review would make it to the top HR managers and our executives. Months later, they sent HR, along with one of our execs, to the office for a health check. My boss told us it was because of a Glassdoor review, then quoted my review in a meeting. It took everything I had to keep a straight face. The day HR was coming, I was out because I was taking my licensure exam. But I came in the next morning and had a last-minute early morning meeting on my calendar. In the meeting, it was just the women of the office and HR. A lot of us vented about the company and the previous team lead with anger issues. We went on with our day and had a lunch meeting to go over the outcome of the visit. During this meeting, the exec made the announcement that another one of our team leads was fired and that he would not be returning. We were all shocked. I didn't have anything personally bad to say about him, but I was surprised because even the anger issues dude just got transferred. After work, we went to happy hour, and as more people left to head home, only a couple of women were left. I confessed to them that I wrote the review that brought HR here, and my other coworker said she knew why the lead was fired. She said almost a year ago that this lead, an old white man, literally someone's grandpa, had groped her at one of the company retreats. She said she had reported it to the director of our office, but nothing ever came of it. She also knew that he had other complaints against him. He had pointed his concealed carry gun at an employee. Since HR was at the office, she had asked to meet with them privately to ask what was being done about this freaking creep, and she found out that our director had been reporting the incidents to HR as lesser offenses. The groping incident was phrased as he was aggressively dancing near her. It made me sick to my stomach that our director knew what kind of man this guy was and just let us work alongside him every day. There were many times when a lot of us would work late and be in the office alone with him, and we had a lot of college-age girls working as interns. My coworker was afraid that people would blame her for this guy getting fired. I promised I wouldn't tell anyone and that it wasn't anyone's fault except his own. We had lots of debriefing meetings after this, and I was not afraid to tell my boss how management had completely mishandled everything. I immediately started looking for other jobs. As someone who has had men I was supposed to be able to trust abuse and hurt me, I just felt so unsafe. A couple weeks later, the director started cracking down on working from home and billing to overhead costs, like he was punishing us for talking to HR. Then he started asking one of our few women project leads for proof of her engineer's license. She was in the process of transferring her license from Oklahoma to Texas and said she'd give them her license information once that was complete. They insisted on having it immediately and reported her to HR for lying on her resume. We were all livid because, one, she had a picture of her old license as proof, and two, she had already been working on multiple projects for over a year. Three, it felt like they were retaliating because she had asked for the all-women meeting with HR. She ended up resigning, and instead of letting her complete her 2 weeks, they had her escorted out immediately in the middle of a meeting. I suspect that they thought she wrote the Glassdoor review that put this all into motion, which only affirmed my need to find another job, because if they found out it was me who wrote it, what would they do? I was able to find another job and drop the most savage resignation letter that I have ever written, calling all of them out for covering up sexual harassment and assault. I CC'd HR, the director, my boss, and the execs. As punishment, though, they didn't give me my end-of-year bonus, even though I finished out 2023 still working for them. Now I work for a great company and I love my job. I guess you can say I was on my vigilante shit. The thing is, I'd like to warn people away from this company, but I'm not sure if I could get sued or something. And the creepy grandpa ended up getting a job right away with a better company, which is the worst. No doubt they still gave him glowing references because he's their buddy, while they still claim that the woman lead who resigned was lying, which made me so mad because as a woman in a male-dominated field, one bad word could ruin you. When I resigned, I found out the main reason they fired the creepy grandpa was because of the gun thing, not the groping or the harassment incidents, after my coworker was so worried people would blame her for his firing. I pride myself on being an advocate and mentor for women in STEM, but I was just not sure what would be the best thing to do in this situation.
Well, you nailed it. It's a boys' club through and through, everything you just described. I hate everything about this. We were just talking the other night, you and I, about toxic work environments that we've had in the past in the corporate world. And Man, this is right up there for sure, especially when you're working in a male-dominated field. This sucks. And not only do you have a grandpa grope you, but he's pointing his gun at people, and then he's still allowed to work there until HR finally steps in. This is one of those weird things where, like, HR isn't always in the office, so then when they come through, it's like shit gets everyone's wrecked. Yeah. And then you have to, like, be like, can I have, like, clandestine meetings and stuff? Because
it's like, you
got to tell them, like, this is actually what's going on. I can't email it because they can see my email. That's awful. And good for you in putting it on Glassdoor. Those reviews are very helpful for knowing what you're getting into, especially if you're in a field where you're going to be the minority. As far as the legal side of it, Heather?
I would say agreed about Glassdoor. That's, like, usually the best way, since it's anonymous. You don't run the risk of, you know, someone trying to sue you for defamation, as long as everything you put up there is true. But that sounds like retaliation. I mean, it's sad that the woman who was, you know, getting her license transferred, that they sort of ousted her for kind of it's pretext is what they call it in the legal field, right? Of like, oh, well, it's because of your licensure. And you're like, bitch, no, it wasn't. It's because I called this man out for waving a gun at work and squeezing my ass when I was just trying to enjoy a company meeting. So it really, situations like that, it never hurts to contact an employment law attorney. Just overall, a lot of times they will take cases. Some of them will take cases on contingency, because you can get a pretty large payout when they can prove, you know, if it's the right type of company to which certain laws apply. And then sometimes the people are just stupid. Like, as far as, like, management, they think that they know the law, or they think you won't do anything, and they'll be pretty blatant and maybe even leave a paper trail, you know, emailing or texting each other going, we got to get her out. That's the bitch that, you know, talked about Ronnie. We got to get rid of her. And you're like, oh, well, we have a bunch of texts now saying that you did all these things. So, you know,
I would say too, from my own personal situation with the toxic work environment and being fired over something that I didn't do and having to fight that, definitely get things in writing, because the people you're going to talk to are going to want to see, like, documentation of anything to prove that, like, the things that you're saying happened. So even if that means, like, you starting a paper trail and emailing something of, like, this, and the rub is, like, well, then you're like, but then I'm going to get fired because they're just firing anybody that speaks out. And that sucks. But, like, either way, you're probably going to get fired in this kind of a environment. So you might as well take some people down with you and make it a little bit better for the people that might come after you in the meantime.
No, for sure. And it doesn't hurt. Like, in Dallas, I know we have the Bar Association here has a referral line, and it's like $20 to speak with an attorney for a half an hour. And you tell them in advance what kind of attorney you need. And then even there's a statewide one as well. It's like the lawyer referral service. So it's good to just, I mean, for $20, you know, that's like a dinner out or something, to just call and talk to a lawyer for a half hour. And I've had people.
I did it.
Yeah. And they've, like, they hire the attorney and move on or whatever. Yeah. So
they wrote several letters for me, and I won what I needed to win. So.
Yeah. Sometimes, and seriously, you think, like, oh, I don't want to sue them and have a whole trial. It's like, that's like a 1.001% chance that'll happen. Most likely it'll be letters back and forth and a check, hopefully.
Mine was just, I was trying to get at employment, and the employer was like, nah, all the stuff she's saying didn't happen. I was like, bitch, I got receipts.
You're like, actually, here's my scroll.
And those receipts led to me getting unemployment. But they do want to see those receipts for sure. And I will say, because I was also pregnant when I was wrongly terminated, and I let them know that, and they're like, I'll be honest, it's really hard to get people on stuff like this, on like ageism or sexism or anything, unless there is, like, really blatant stuff, like these meetings, you know, that you have, like, if take notes after that, or, like, even if somebody can, like, somehow film something like that, like, somebody, like, if somebody's, like, yelling at people in the office on a regular basis, you could probably capture something like that.
Yeah.
If somebody's got a fucking gun and is waving it around, definitely. I mean, we all have cell phones now, so just document, because that's what's going to save you in the end.
Oh, for sure. And Texas is a one-party consent state. So as long as you're part of the conversation, you're not like eavesdropping on someone else, mm-hmm. and you know you're being recorded, then proceed accordingly. And mm-hmm. I think you're right, Christy, saying like, hey, I'd like to complain about this guy. And they're like, oh, he's not that bad. And you're like, I submit the following. Here he is calling me a fucking bitch. And this is absolutely... no thank you is absolutely right, that like there's no scenario in which someone needs to be screamed at unless you're like a fireman and they're like, give me the hose, turn the water on, like if there's an emergency situation. But if you're an engineering firm, why is anyone screaming at each other? What's going on?
Like, it's the same with this pilot. Like,
toxic.
Treat people with respect. Like, nobody fucking needs toxic. To be spoken to, but especially a coworker, or even worse, like your manager, because mm-hmm. there's a power imbalance there. Talking to you like that, you do feel like you just are stuck. And I was telling you, like, I've had several jobs that were, honestly, I think I said, like, almost all of my jobs have been toxic. Maybe not all, but most corporate ones, like, it's just mm-hmm. Maybe I just had ones that weren't great. But I've worked in offices where a ton of yelling goes on, and maybe not even at me, but mm-hmm. between like other managers or supervisors. And it's like, even being around that is so uncomfortable and toxic, and affects how you want to go to work. It affects mm-hmm. the work you do. So like, even if you're not like the direct victim, it still affects you, and you still have every right to say something about it.
Oh, for sure. It's so awkward.
It might be like, somebody, a third party, saying like, hey, Bill's over here screaming at Cheryl every day, waving his gun around. She's too scared to say anything. So like, then you got to step in and say mm-hmm. something.
Yeah, I think that's always a good thing too, is if being like, it's not just, oh, I'm sitting over here so it doesn't affect me. Like, that kind of attitude and anger and behavior affects everyone. And mm-hmm. Good on you too. No, thank you for dropping the bomb there in your resignation letter.
Oh, fuck yeah. When I go scorched earth.
The times that I have been given a exit interview, I just was like, how much time do you have?
Crack and
I
was my like, knuckles, rolling going through my sleeves.
Notes in my phone. I was like, on this date at this time, this happened. I'm like, yeah, don't fuck with me, because I keep mm-mm. notes. So yeah, I think those are all, that's all of my good advice would be, keep, like you said, keep receipts, and then also like reach out to an attorney and see what maybe could happen, because maybe somebody getting retaliated against and, you know, fired under this pretext, you could get a little bit of money.
Mm-hmm. And good for you for looking out for other women in a male-dominated mm-hmm. industry. And that's, you got to have that. So good on you.
Yeah, it's I think they call it the whisper network of like, just mm-hmm. if you, or like when people reach out to me on LinkedIn and be like, hey, I'm thinking about working at this place. Like, just being honest of like, mm-hmm. this person was great. I did not have such a good experience in this group or doing this kind of gig, whatever. Just like being honest. Nobody can fault you for telling the truth and giving your opinion. You can't ever get sued for defamation for your opinion of like saying something like, that guy's an asshole or that place sucked, are protected. That's protected speech. Yeah. So say whatever you want.
Amongst the female comics in the DFW mm-hmm. area, there is a whisper network mm-hmm. to let other female comedians know of like, you know, they'll name names, and there's groups where there used to be a website where anonymously you could just post like, hey, be careful if you're on the same lineup as this stand up or something. And
dang,
that's, you got to look out for each other like that.
Absolutely. That's, I hate that that even has to exist, but it does.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this last one here is from Nicole. And we promised it up top. They're everywhere. It's called STFU, a werepanther. Sinisterhood, we'll be right back. Hello, Sinisterhood. I was hoping to get this sent in weeks ago, but alas, life. A recent Freaky Friday really hit home for me and inspired me to tell my tale. I have a few other stories I'm going to send in at a later time as well, because honestly, I like to mention them any chance I get. Anyway, let's get into it. Recently on Freaky Friday was the story of a werepanther. When I tell you, my jaw dropped with delight of a familiar incident that I had, I mean it. I'm writing from the Catskill region of New York. So many people here in New York and envision a city setting, but where I live is the land of Rip Van Winkle. Apparently, Washington Irving wrote this story without ever having visited it prior, and he nailed the location. It's rural with a few suburban areas, mountains, waterfalls, forests, Bigfoot sightings, UFOs, time vortexes, and who knows what else. It was about 7 years ago when I was about a year into a relationship with my now fiancé. He lived out here in a small town, while at the time I was coming from the capital region. I was a bartender, oftentimes ending my night around 1:30 a.m. On Friday and Saturday nights after my shift, I would drive the hour south to see my man for a few hours. It never bothered me. I love driving at that time of night. No one is ever on the road, and it's so peaceful. And the closer I got to his home, the more beautiful the sky became. There were also less streetlights, so once I was off the thruway, I was on dark, winding roads. On this one particular night, per usual, it was right around 3 a.m. I was coming up this dark, winding, backcountry road, surrounded by woods with houses around a half mile from each other. A small creek ran through the area, and near where I was also an old town cemetery that hid back in the woods. I was coming up on a bend in the road, where one of the few streetlights stood shining bright. In the midst of my horrible sing-along to whatever I had on in the car, I saw a figure emerge from the woods. It was tall, dark, and not handsome. It moved across the street on its hind legs, like a human, but its legs didn't look human. I saw its arms. It looked like one held a walking stick, while the other moved with the flow of its body. On its back, from the top of the head to between the shoulders, looked like a fur cape or shawl, like you would see on a Norse Viking. You could see it draped on the tops of its arms/shoulder area. Its eyes had a shine reflect, simply white. The face was not human. It had a snout like a bear, or, dare I say, a werewolf. Its skin, black with the shine of the surrounding lights of the streets, was similar to the coat of a black panther. Once across the street, it started to hunch over and disappeared into the brush. The leaves didn't even flutter. I have reason to believe that my face resembled Van Gogh's scream for the rest of my drive. What the fuck was that? What the fuck was that? I've seen bears, we have plenty here, and it did not look like a bear. We have mountain lions and bobcats, and I have never seen them walk on their hind legs like this. When I heard about the werepanther, I could not believe someone had such a similar experience. And then I heard about the wampus cat. The relief of knowing others experienced something I thought only I had ever seen is delightful, like a weight off my shoulders. It also leads me to ask, what actually lives in the depths of our forests? I will never know exactly what I saw, but since that day, I have chosen a mundane answer to consider: a bipedal bear with mange. This idea allowed me to sleep at night and not obsess over what I had witnessed. Besides, maybe it truly was a bipedal bear with mange? The world may never know. P.S. There have been Bigfoot sightings in the area in which I live, and even locals have Bigfoot decor in their yards. Most of us love the idea, and I am keeping my eyes peeled so I can be one of the first to ride in with a Bigfoot sighting. Keep on creeping on, Nicole.
Well, Nicole, I hope that you get to see that Bigfoot, and then you, I guess, will have seen two cryptids, perhaps?
Yeah, I was like, fingers crossed for the Bigfoot. If it is a bipedal bear with mange, walking with a cane is impressive. And a shawl? What a fabulous bear.
This bear was out on the town.
Yeah, the bear was like, I was going to dinner.
Any animal walking with a cane is very funny to me, but I imagine, like, would you just pick up a stick and then you just... I didn't want to Google bear with mange because I was worried it would upset me.
Yeah, I've seen them. Only because of the Chupacabra episode, I saw a lot of animals.
Is it bad?
I mean, it looks like a bear's having a tough time. Yeah, it's not great.
Okay, I'm going to look. Okay. Yeah, oh, this one looks exactly like has kind of the hair only on the head and around mm-hmm. the shoulders, and then the rest of the hair is gone, which could look shawl-like.
I can see that.
He is not carrying a cane.
No, he doesn't have a walking stick and a top hat and singing Putting on the Ritz.
He's not doing that, but this says, since 2014, reports of bears with mange have increased in number and geographic spread. So that was in Virginia, though. I'm not sure where this is.
Catskills, New York.
Catskills, that's right. Yeah. Bears are everywhere. So are wares. Panthers.
A werebear.
A werebear.
A werewolf. I'm not sure when exactly this happened, Nicole, but in 2019, the Adirondack Explorer reported that the three bear populations in New York State where individuals have mane was Adirondacks, Catskills, and Western New York.
Oh, okay.
So they said they think it has, they've gotten, the Catskill bears got it locally from other mammals. So I guess it transfers between species.
This says bear with mange on hind legs. In 2014, there was a New Jersey walking bear mystery solved. See? So perhaps, oh yeah, this bear is just walking around on its hind legs. I'm going to say that this is probably a bear with mange in that area. And judging by these pictures I've seen, like the fur being like that seems like it might be. But that's very sad. I don't know about the stick unless he was just, he found biting a sticky leg like a dog. And yeah, he's like, I'm going to take this stick with me. He needed a stick for something.
I want to take this stick home with me. Well, Nicole said she's seen bears before, but yeah, a bear with mange looks a little bit different. So that makes sense that your like brain is trying to make sense of what you're even seeing. But at 3 a.m. mm-hmm. in the dark, you're out by yourself just like vibing like, every day is, what did I just see?
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, next up is the Wampus Cat. So let us know if you see one of those, and especially if you see Sasquatch.
For real. Yeah. A cryptid bingo card. I hope you fill your whole card up and send them all to us. So may you see a Bigfoot imminently.
Yes, may you. Well, thank you so much, Nicole, and thank you to everybody that sent in your Freaky Friday stories. If you have an odd but true story, maybe you've encountered Bigfoot, you've seen a UFO, you had a brush with true crime, or you felt the presence of an otherworldly being, send them in at sinisterhood.com/Freaky Friday. If you like our free episodes, you'll love our Patreon bonus content. You can join for free to see what we're up to next, or dive into over 800 hours of bonus content. And we have a live stream coming up on the 27th as well, 8 p.m. Central. And that's just one of the many things that you get to be a part of when you join our Patreon.
Oh, yeah. When you join, you get ad-free episodes, these monthly live streams. We do quarterly bonus content live streams as well. Our weekly audio bonus content. We've got an unpopular opinions coming up for y'all here soon. Monthly mini-sodes, merch discounts for rolling the airwaves and getting into it tier, and a community of the best listeners on the whole internet. And if you're not sure if you want to join, you can always join for free and stay for free. That will get you one archive bonus content. We release those once a month just to show you, just show our appreciation. You also can get email updates from us of what we got going on at no cost to you. But if you're curious, you want to dive into the bonus content, check out our free trial. You can join for a week at any level. Check out all the perks. And if you want to cancel or downgrade anytime, you can do that before the trial is over so that you don't get charged. But joining for a week, the week of the Q&A seems like a good way for, I mean, that's a good way to know if you want to stay, if you're part of the Q&A. Yeah, for sure. So check that out over on Patreon. And you can also head over to sinisterhood.com and click shop on the top banner to check out all of our merch, like t-shirts, including our new Believe and Be Kind design by our lovely junior researcher, Ella, that features a drawing that she created of the Flatwoods Monster and her message from the episode, Believe and Be Kind. We also have that in sizes for kids, toddlers, and babies, so you can match with your little ones. We have stickers, mugs, totes, and all kinds of fun stuff. Plus, our merch clearance sale is going on right now. Deeply discounted shirts from our 2022 Texas Theater Show with a really dope skeleton with the cowboy hat on it. We have our cover art shirts, and you better get in there and get the very last few of the 2023 Full Moon Energy shirts, because there are about to be some 2024 ones when we're on the road. So don't forget to use your Patreon merch discount when you're shopping over there. Check the pin post in Patreon to get that discount code.
While you're on our website, you can also review the show, follow us on socials, and check out the episode description. You'll find fun things like topic-based playlists and links to live show tickets.
You can follow us on Instagram and Threads at Sinisterhood Pod, like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. Check out video versions of our Wednesday episodes and clips from Freaky Friday over on our YouTube channel, as well as on our TikTok, both at Sinisterhood Podcast, and order a custom video shout out of us saying, whatever message you want. Happy birthday, happy anniversary, I love you, congratulations, over on Cameo. So order those at cameo.com/sinisterhood. Where can the people find you on the internet, Christy Wallace?
I am on Instagram and Threads at Christy M. Wallace and TikTok at Christy or GTFO. Heather?
I'm on there at Heather versus the World.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy.